And in Seattle, the spangly local issue on the ballot this year is a referendum on strip clubs. The city wants to enforce stricter regulations by doing things like turning the lights on a little brighter. The clubs prefer things otherwise. NPR's Martin Costi has the story from Seattle.
The city wants to turn its strip clubs into clean, well-lighted places, but establishments such as Rick's Nightclub would prefer to keep things dark and dirty. A handful of men sit around the main room, nursing their non-alcoholic drinks and staring at the floor show with the unsmiling intensity of someone watching surgery. But the real show is behind them, in the VIP area. That's where nude dancers perform for individual patrons seated in high-backed chairs. Things are dark enough that you can't really make out what's going on in those chairs, unless you pay $20 for a closer look. So the city of Seattle wants clubs to turn up the lights and to keep dancers and patrons at least 4 feet apart. Club owners have responded with ads featuring rulers. The ads conjure up the specter of schoolmarm policemen armed with yardsticks. The club owners have sunk hundreds of thousands into the ad campaign, including free speech-themed lawn signs that make no mention of stripping. Gil Levy, the attorney for Rick's and the head of the campaign, says there is a constitutional principle at stake.
You could tell a painter, for example, well, you can paint a great painting, but you can't use the color blue. And it's the same way with nude dancing. I mean, the expression is sexiness. A dance 4 feet away is not as sexy as a dance up close.
In fact, the Supreme Court agrees, up to a point. It says nude dancing is a form of protected speech. Cities can't just ban nude performances, per se. But the court has also allowed cities considerable leeway to regulate how and where this form of free speech is exercised. Stuart Jay is a constitutional law expert at the University of Washington.
You know, there's clearly a bit of, I don't know if I want to call it hypocrisy, or there's at least a view here that is creating a hierarchy of the kinds of nude expression, frankly. When I see dance theater and they take all their clothes off, well, that's high art. If I go down to, which I don't, but if I did, go down to the Lusty Lady, that's raunchy nudity, you might say.
Jay says cities are allowed to regulate nude dancing as long as their rules are meant only to curb what's known as secondary effects, such as illegal sex in the lap dance room. As far as the courts are concerned, this issue is settled. Regulations on strip clubs do not constitute a violation of the First Amendment. Still, club owners continue to play the free speech card. With the courts against them, they're starting to take their fight directly to the voters, and the Bill of Rights makes for a good campaign issue.
They're using free speech as a way to push people's hot buttons.
Deputy Mayor Tim Cease says Seattle is not alone. Strip club owners in other parts of the country are also going the referendum route. Just 2 months ago, a very similar ballot initiative rolled back strip club regulations in Scottsdale, Arizona.
This now is their tactic. Instead of spending money on expensive court battles that they will ultimately lose, they now spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on elections.
Cease backs the city's new strip club rules, but he also says the ballot may very well be the appropriate place to decide the issue. If the voters don't want to turn up the lights, well, then that's their call. Martin Costi, NPR News, Seattle.